Welcome to Mini Magic, the kids' podcast where we talk about magic, witches, spells, and whatever else you want. Hey, little witches, happy holidays, and welcome to episode 5. Our first official holiday episode together because we're now in the week of Yule. Last week we talked about the whole wheel of the year and all of the witchy holidays, but if you're listening when this is posted, we have just 5 days left until the winter solstice, which is on December 21st this year. Maybe less than that for you now. And that means that we're getting ready to celebrate the shortest day of the year. We're going to talk about Yule today, give some background on what the day is and why we celebrate it, talk about how it was celebrated in the past and how we celebrate it today, and then, as always, answer a listener question. There's a lot to cover today, so I'm going to jump right in. Yule is a name for the winter solstice, the shortest day of the year. Now, we say the shortest day. The day still has 24 hours, just like every other day, so it's not actually shorter in time. And what we mean by the shortest day is that we get the least amount of daylight hours and the most amount of darkness. I should note that this is true up here where I am in the northern hemisphere, the top half of the earth, and it is reversed in the southern hemisphere. But because we are north of the equator in the United States, the big invisible line that cuts the earth in half, it is the winter solstice here on December 21st. The winter solstice is now called the first day of winter. It is considered the start of the season. And astrologically, it is the day when the sun sets the farthest south. You might not have even noticed this unless you really pay attention and watch the sunsets, but the sun moves and sets in different places along the horizon every night. So when it's going down the farthest south, that's when we're also seeing the least amount of daylight in the beginning of winter. Human beings didn't always know why this was happening. People didn't always have the level of understanding that we have now about the planets moving and the relationship between the Earth and the Sun. But even though they didn't necessarily know why it was happening, people have been noticing the shortening of the days and the movement of the Sun for thousands of years. And they've been celebrating the winter solstice for about 5,000 years all throughout the world. Many of the customs and traditions that modern witches pull into their celebrations today are around the rebirth of the sun and honoring light and fire, and they come from these older cultures. Let's talk a little about the root of the word solstice, because remember, we have two solstices in the year, the winter solstice and the summer solstice. The word solstice actually comes from two words in a language called Latin. The word sol, meaning the sun, and sistere, which meant to stand still. So this was a period when people noticed that the sun appeared to literally stand still. It stopped moving through the sky at this southernmost point, and then it stayed there, rising and setting in the same place, for a period almost as long as a week or 6 days, when normally it would be tracking across the sky at a different point each night. This is still happening year after year, cycle after cycle. There's this pause point of the sun, and this is when we celebrate the return of the light and the solstice. There's a lot of really interesting mythology and stories tied to Yule and the rebirth of the sun, stories about gods and goddesses that help explain why and how we celebrate this day. We don't have time today to talk about nearly all of them, but I will also give some book recommendations at the end for anyone who's interested in studying this a little bit more deeply. One of the most notable Yule myths is about the Holly King and the Oak King. This is something that also comes up around the summer solstice because it's a legend about two kings, each named for a tree, who were brothers. The Oak King was named for the oak tree, known to be strong in the height of summer, and the Holly King for the holly tree, which stays strong and vibrant through the cold winter months. The story is that they each rule over one half of the year, battling each other with one defeating the other and one sacrificing themselves over and over, switching off. The winter solstice is the point where the Holly King is at his peak of power, and holly is a symbol of the holiday and used to decorate homes and altars. Like we talked about, the word solstice also has the word sol right in it. Sol was the ancient Roman god of the sun, later called Sol Invictus. Worshipping this sun god was so popular and widespread that there was a point that it was declared an official religion by the Roman emperor with a festival that took place on December 25th. If this date sounds familiar to you, it's because this is the day many of us now know as and celebrate Christmas. There is an idea that when Christianity started taking over this area, the celebrations of Sol Invictus were already so far-reaching that instead of trying to stop them altogether, the Christian church celebrated this day as the birth of Jesus Christ instead and called it Christmas. Yule can also be connected to the Norse god Odin and what was called the Wild Hunt, when he would lead spirits across the sky riding on an eight-legged horse. Odin is considered the king of the gods within the Norse pantheon, and he is an extremely powerful figure. We actually reference him all the time, and something most don't realize is a reference to one of the old gods. But the word Wednesday actually comes from Woden's Day, Odin's Day. It's normal for pictures or artwork of Odin to show him with a long white beard and a cloak. And you might be thinking it already, but some have said that Odin and Santa Claus are one and the same figure. Santa has eight reindeer, Odin's horse has eight legs, they both ride through the night sky. They're both said to give gifts, and like the elves that work for Santa, Odin has dwarves that work for him. Now, we've talked pretty thoroughly about where Yule comes from and why we celebrate it, and I want to dig a little deeper into how we actually celebrate and ways that you and your family can have a Yule observance. Of course, you can make a Yule altar. We have a whole episode on altars that you can go back and listen to, and you can either add things to an altar that you already have, or you can set up a completely new space for the holiday. It's up to you. All that matters is that it has things on it that make you think of honoring the season and the turning of the wheel. Some usual things to include in your Yule altar are the colors green, red, gold, and white. And a really fun and festive way to bring in green is with plants. Evergreen plants are one of the major symbols of Yule because they don't die in the winter like lots of trees and plants, so they've become symbols for the growth that is to come in the spring, even in the cold winter months. People also cut down and brought full trees inside, which they decorated with lights and ornaments, something that we still do now, something that is also considered a Christmas tradition. And some common plants to bring into your home for Yule are mistletoe, which can be hung in doorways, and holly, representing the Holly King and the strength of the earth in the winter. You might also want to include some gold candles, tinsel or ribbon, or a bell. You might also choose to build your Yule altar around a Yule log. A Yule log is a branch that's taken from outside and brought in for the holidays. This tradition has taken several different forms. Some people drill holes in the log to make a candle holder. Some burn the entire log as part of a Yule ritual, wishing for what they want in the year ahead. You don't have to burn a big Yule log, but you can have a fire at home if you have a fireplace, or a fire outside if you have a safe place to build one, and write down some hopes going into the new year, which you can burn. Another way to represent the Yule log is with a cake. There are Yule log cakes you can make or buy that are shaped and look like actual logs, and people put chocolate frosting on them to look like wood. You can then leave a piece of cake as an offering and eat the rest yourself. So that one is popular with all of the kids that I know. Watching the sunrise on the morning of solstice is another fun tradition to share. This is best done by finding a high point like a hill and taking a small walk or hike up to see the sun come up and be reborn. If you do a little research into the highest points in your area, you might actually find that you have company from other solstice watchers in the morning. More people honor this day than you probably realize. Wake up early in the dark, make some hot chocolate or cider, bundle up in the car, and head to a hill to watch the sun come up. There are so many crafts you can do that are in line with Yule. I don't even know where to start, but one I'm excited to do this year is making witch balls. Witch balls are clear balls, usually made of glass, but you can also find them made of plastic in a lot of craft stores. You fill them up with herbs and notes and tiny things like cinnamon sticks and flower petals, and then you can seal them with the wax from candles or a little bit of glue. Witch balls are said to be good luck if they're hung up in windows or doorways, and we're also going to hang a few on our solstice tree. Another thing we're going to do is bake sun bread. There is a wonderful book about this called Sun Bread by Elisa Clevin. You bake bread in the shape of the sun, which is said to wake up all of the creatures of Earth and eventually the real sun himself. One thing we did at summer solstice, which we're pulling back out now, are sun-shaped wands. We made them out of clay and sticks from our backyard, but you could also make them using yellow or orange construction paper and popsicle sticks or sticks from outside. It's also important to think about other creatures at this time of year when there's less food out for them. And a way you can do that is by decorating a tree outside, just like we decorate a tree inside. Instead of using glass ornaments and electric lights, you can use edible ornaments that will benefit the birds and the other animals in your natural environment. There are so many different ways to make bird feeders and edible ornaments. I'm sure you can find a bunch by searching online or on Pinterest, but one that we like to do is cutting apples or oranges into flat slices. Then you can coat the bottom half of them with peanut butter and dip them in bird seed. They are really yummy for the birds, and they're really pretty, and you can even string them onto a piece of twine to make little ornaments or edible garlands. Finally, this year we're going to be making salt dough, which is great for making ornaments. It's super easy because you only need three things, and I bet that you might already have them at home: flour, salt, and water. You can find some slightly different recipes, but I'm going to recommend using 4 cups of flour, 1 cup of salt, and 1.5 cups of water. You're just going to mix the flour and salt together and then pour in the water and keep mixing. When you can't use a spoon anymore, you're going to knead the dough with your hands until it becomes pretty smooth. Then you can roll it out with a rolling pin on parchment paper. After this, you're free to make anything. We love to make little sun ornaments at the solstice and make sure to leave a hole to tie a string on them. If you have cookie cutters at home, you can use those to make shapes, or you can just create your own shapes using the dough like clay. After you're done, you can have an adult bake them at 300 degrees in the oven for about an hour. And once the baked ornaments are cooled, you can paint them. We also give gifts at the solstice, and we have a big family meal. I hope that you found these suggestions helpful for creating your own Yule celebration, and know that it doesn't just have to be on the 21st. Celebrations of the solstice often lasted many days. I hope you found these suggestions helpful for creating your own Yule celebration, and it doesn't just have to be on the day of the 21st. Celebrations of the solstice often lasted many days, and some witches now even still celebrate 12 or 13 days of Yule, beginning on the solstice and lasting through the new year at the beginning of January. If this is something that you want to know more about, I have some book recommendations for you, some for kids and some for grown-ups. Our family traditions have mostly come out of these books over the years, and they have a lot more information and stories that I would recommend getting into. Those books are Year of the Witch by Temperance Alden, The Shortest Day by Wendy Pfeffer, The Return of the Light by Carolyn McVicar Edwards, The Holly King and the Oak King by J.C. Artemisia, and Circle Round by Starhawk, Diane Baker, and Anne Hill. Now that we've finished up our Yule segment, I want to jump into some listener questions.
Hi, Andrea. My name is Hannah, and I love your podcast. And I also am a big fan of magic and witches. So I had a question my whole life that no one could ever answer, and I was hoping you would maybe have the answer. Do witches use wands or their fingers? And do they really do magic, or do they mean something else?
Hi, Hannah. Thank you so much for your kind words about the podcast and for your questions. I'm really glad that you're curious about magic and trying to learn more, and I hope that I can clear things up for you a little. Some witches use wands. I would say that most of us don't, but some do. A wand is just one thing you can use to channel energy, but the place that energy really comes from is inside of you. So your hands are more than enough. Using a wand is a personal choice, and it can help with visualizing magic. It's also a fun witchy practice to make your own wand. You can take time finding the perfect stick that feels just right in your hand, and then you can decorate it with yarn or crystals or glitter to make something unique to you, because those are the tools that will work best for you in spells. Now to your second question. Are we really doing magic or something else? And I guess the answer to this one depends on your personal definition of magic. I think of magic as using your will and intention to create change. So I will strongly say yes, real witches do magic. It's not like it looks in the movies, like saying an incantation and turning someone into a frog, or a big puff of smoke and you disappear. But real spells do influence people, environments, feelings, and events.
Hi, my name is Seed. And how do you make potions? And can you put potions in? Well, put spells in potions. Yeah.
Hi, Cedar. Good question. I'm glad that you sent this one in. There are a ton of different ways to make potions, because a potion can really be described as a mixture of ingredients made for a certain purpose. And if you think about it, cooking can be a potion, like making soup. Putting special additions into a bath can be a potion. Mixing herbs to brew into tea is definitely a potion, and infusing oils with herbs is another way. I've been surprised by the amount of potion questions that I've gotten, so I think that this one might call for its own episode. But yes, you can definitely put spells into potions. You can put your intention or a spell into a potion using your choice of ingredients, by adding certain elements, or by doing a ritual while you make it. And we will chat more about this in the future. If you have a question you want to hear answered on Mini Magic, remember that you can visit anchor.fm/minimagic with a trusted adult to record and submit it. Thank you so much for listening to this special holiday episode. I hope that you have the most lovely Yule celebration. And next week, we're going to be taking a short break for the holidays. So there won't be a new episode, but we will be back right before the new year on Wednesday, the 30th. Happy holidays, happy solstice, and blessed be. Mini Magic is produced by Moondust Press. You can find more information, books, worksheets, and other resources online at moondustpress.com and on social media at moondustpress.